because he saw Beruach HaKodesh that the children will not be the children of the Yerubbi Avodah Zarah. And one is not, his opinion was, one is not in fulfillment of Pirub Rivya. Kodem Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah was different. It was just Pirub Vimilas Oretz V'chiv Shua. It applied even to the Umas Olam. But after Matan Torah, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the nature of the mitzvah was changed and it only applies to Bnei Yisrael. So if it only applies to Bnei Yisrael, so Chizkiyahu HaMelech held that the nature of the mitzvah is to transmit the Jewish values to the next generation. So the children, you're only yotze in the mitzvah if the children are Jewish and you succeed in transmitting the values. So since he saw Baruch HaKadosh, if he has children, they'll be of the Avodah Zarah, so he can't fulfill the mitzvah. So the question is, what did Yeshaya HaNavi tell him? He said that you're doing wrong. Why do you creep into the secrets of the Ribbono Shel Olam? By the Mifkidis, what you were obligated to do, whatever he wants to do, let him do. So what exactly did he answer? So one way to interpret the answer is that the Cheshman of Chizkiyahu HaMelech is not correct, that one is in fulfillment of the mitzvah, even if the children are not religious. The whole premise of Chizkiyahu is incorrect. That's a possibility. So we mentioned that there are some poskim hold like that halacha l'maisa. The Bishmol and Ebenezer has the discussion. The Gemara has machlekes abyechna meishlokish and yivomis in the end of Perek Haboyev Imta, where you have the whole sugya of piriviriviyo. So it's machlekes abyechna meishlokish. A gersh and his guy v'hoyla banim benocher yusa. He had children before he converted. And later he converts, is he yotze piriv rivya with the children that he had before? So Rish Lakish, I would have said like Rish Lakish. I would have been outvoted. I would have said like Rish Lakish. Gersh and his gar kontin al damid, they're not related to you alpidin. Biologically, they're your children, but alpidin, they're not related, so you're not yotze the mitzvah. So I was outvoted. So Rabbi Yochanan says that it's wrong. So there's a machloike, and the Ramam says, when this guy who bon avima, he converted and the children also converted. So the Magen Mishnah understood in the Ramam who minizgar bon avimo that you're only in fulfillment of piri v'rivya if the children also convert. If the children don't convert, so you're in piri v'rivya with goyish children, that's inconceivable. That's the Magen Mishnah understood the Ramam like that. And the Beis Shmuel quotes the Maral Miprag understood, no, the Ramam means afilu in this gair habonim. Even if not only the father converted, the children converted, so each one moved away from the other. The father converted, Gershon is Garkatshan Aladami, he's not related to them. Then the children converted, they're not related to him. So there's a double Kikotshan Aladami. Each one moved away from the other. Even in such a case, you're a Yotze Pirub Rivya. And if only the father converted, the children remain non-Jews. Of course, you're a Yotze Pirub Rivya with the non-Jewish children. That's how the Beis Shmuel quotes from the Maharal Prague. Okay? So according to that opinion, you're yotze piriviriviyah with non-Jewish children. So yotze if the children are Jewish and they're raved out with the Zohar also. The nature of the mitzvah didn't change. So that's one way to learn. If you look in the Ayin Yankif on this daf Yud Amud Aleph, Ayin Yankif also all the Agadot and Shas. So on the Mefarshim on the side of the Ayin Yankif, they often have very beautiful explanations on Agadot that you don't have in the Gemara, that the Mefarshim and the Gemara don't give. So they have these three interpretations. So one interpretation is that the whole premise of Chizkiyahu HaMelech is not correct, that the maskana of Yeshaya HaNavi was like the Maral Miprag, that you hate even if the children are not Jewish at all, or if the children are not religious. Another way to interpret is the Mefarshim and the Ayin Yankif had, no, the Cheshbon of Chizkiyahu HaMelech was right, but his Ruach HaKodesh was incomplete. That true, his son was Menashe, I think, was Ovid Avodah Zarah. But the Gemara has two. The Gemara is not sure in Perek Chelek, and the last Perek in Sanhedrin. One version has it that Menashe did tshuva before he died. So he did. So Chizkiyahu HaMelech did succeed in transmitting Jewish values to the next generation. His son Menashe was an Ovid Avodah Zarah for a period of time. And then he straightened out. No, children are often rebellious. And then they straighten out later on. So as long as in the end it straightens out, then everything is okay. Then you yotze piriv rivya. So that's what Yeshaya Novi told Chizkiyahu HaMelech, that Yeruach HaKodesh is incomplete. You don't know the whole story. the rest of this story, the whole story will be that he will be chayzer b'tshuva. And then the third interpretation that they give is that the cheshbon, again, the cheshbon of Chizkiyahu HaMelech was correct, that if a person knows that his children will not be religious, then he's not in fulfillment of Pirei Vereviyah. But you're not allowed to paskin any shaylus based on Ruach HaKodesh. So that's a big question. Is that really true? So there's a famous story about the Nodi Behuda and the Baal Shem Tov. There was a period of time that they lived in the same village before the Nodi Behuda became the rabbi in the big city in Prague. So first he was a rabbi in a little village, and he was, I forgot already exactly how he was, somehow he was a cousin of the Baal Shem Tov. Somebody's wife, either Mrs. Nodi Behuda or Mrs. Baal Shem Tov, was a cousin of the other one. So the Nodi Behuda's daughter used to go visit by the Baal Shem Tov without her father's knowledge, because she was afraid to tell her father. The father would be upset, because he was not happy with the new movement of Hasidus. So on one occasion, when she visited by the Baal Shem Tov, they were carrying on a conversation, and he stood up and he ripped Kriya on his jacket and he sat down. It had nothing to do, the ripping Kriya had nothing to do with the conversation that they were carrying on. And then a few weeks later, they heard that the Orach Chaim HaKadosh passed away that time. This story is already problematic, because another story has that the Baal Shem Tov died at the Shalashuta's time on Shabbos. So what are the Orach Chaim HaKadosh died on Shabbos. So he died on Shabbos. How did they rip Kriya on Shabbos? I'm not sure. And that was the sod of, I forgot already the whole story. Tillis Yadayim, yeah, by Shalashuta's, there's some kind of sod. And every generation is only one person who knows the sod. So in that generation, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh knew the sod. And if it's someone else, who was the other person? I forgot. Baal Shem Tov got the sod. So he realized that the Orach Chaim must have passed away. So there's a question something's a problem over here. Anyway, so this story goes like this, that a month later or so, they found out that the Orach Chaim had died on that day, that time. And then the daughter of the Nodi Behuda decided she's going to tell her father. So she tells her father, you should know that all the years I always used to go visit by the Baal Shem Tov, and I didn't want to tell you because I knew you would be upset, but now I have to tell you, he really has Ruach HaKodesh, that he knew then, no one in our village knew, he knew then that the Orach Chaim lived in Eretz Yisrael, and the Yehuda with the Baal Shem Tov lived in Podolia. They lived in a little village in Poland at the time. So he must have had Ruach HaKodesh that he ripped Kriya exactly the time that we found out today that the Orach Chaim died. So the Nodi Behuda became very stern and very serious, and he says that you should know that he was Oivram Baal Tashchis, because the din is you only rip Kriya if you're there b'shas Yetzias Neshama, or if you heard from an Eid Echod that the person died. But based on Ruach HaKodesh, you're not allowed to rip Kriya. So the daughter went back and she told the Baal Shem Tov what the Nodi Behuda said, that the only rip Kriya if you're there b'shas Yetzias Neshama, or if you heard from an Eid Echod. So he says, I was there b'shas Yetzias Neshama. That's the way the story goes. So that's a question. Are you allowed to paskin shailas based on Ruach HaKodesh? You have to have evidence. You have to know what the facts of the case are in order to paskin a shaila. So is that considered acceptable evidence? So one of the makoras, there are makoras about this. So one of the makoras that they quote is the Tshuvas HaRamah. The Ramah has a tshuva where he discusses the pasuk when Avimelech, I think, took Sora, Eishes Avram, and then he got sick, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avimelech, or Paramelech Ben Tzayim, I forgot already which one of the two, and he tells him, Hoshe Vesha Shuishki Novihu, Vispala Batcho Vechaye. What do you mean, Hoshe Vesha Shuishki Novihu? You only have to give back the wife if the husband is a Novi. The husband is not a Novi, you don't have to give back the man's wife. She's an Eshezish. So the Rav Moshe says, Hoshe Vesha Shuishki Novihu, He's a Navi, and he knows that she's Mutaris Labaila, that she's not an Eshes Isha Zinsa. The whole thing is a Chiddush, that the din of Eshes Isha Zinsa is Asur Labaila. Applies Kodim Matan Torah, applies to Avram Avinu. The whole thing is a Chiddush. So the Ramah interprets, and the Tshuvas HaRamah interprets that that's Pshat and Pasuk Kasha, Eshes Ish, Ki Navi Hu, he's a Navi, and he knows that she that you didn't touch her, and therefore she's Mutaris L'Bailo, and you can pass Kanshailas based on the Vua, based on Roha HaKodesh. So that's one of the Marmakams that they quote in connection with this. So that's the third interpretation here, that when Yeshaya Novi told Hizkiyo HaMelech that my demifkid is what you're mechuyev to do. What did he say again? My demifkid is boy loch lemevid, you have to do what you're obligated to. My demicha kamakut shabricha levid, whatever he wants to do, let him do. It means if you know for sure the Derech HaTeva, this was a Shaila Aloha Lamaisa under the communists. And communism was very strong. And the religious people knew that there was no way but Derech HaTeva that they can educate their children to have them believe in God, because the communists were poisoning everyone's mind about atheism, and they were crushing all religions. So but Derech HaTeva wasn't shaykh to raise children to be religious in certain parts of communist Russia. So the question was, are the religious Jews obligated to have children if you know in advance that they're not going to be, not a chance that they're going to be observant? It was a shayla aloha l'maisa. Communism finally collapsed. But during the years that it was so powerful, that was the shayla. So Chizkiyahu HaMelech would say there's no chiyuv. And then the shayla is, do we pass him like that? Or did Yeshaya Novi tell Chizkiyahu HaMelech, your whole premise is not correct? So that's a big machlokes haposkim. What was the answer that Yeshaya HaNovi told Chizkiyahu HaMelech? So then he says, Omalei, so Chizkiyahu HaMelech says, Hashta, habli bratoch, maybe let me marry your daughter, Efshe, the garmus, chus, the divi, the doch, and afke minoy, brin de malu. Let me marry your daughter, maybe in your schus and my schus, maybe together, the schusim of both of us. Maybe it'll break the gzeira, and I'll be able to have children who will be shomrei mitzvos. So Amalei, so Chizkiyahu HaMelech, so Yeshaya Novi says, Kranigzor lech gzeira, there's a gzeira, your children are going to be Avdi Avodah Zarah, it's not, or what does it say, Kranigzor gzeira, then you're going to die. Kranigzor is going to die. Amalei, so Chizkiyahu HaMelech tells Yeshaya, Ben Amotz, when you like the person, you call him by the first name. When you don't like the person, you call him by his father's name, by the second name, Shechta. If you like him, you call me Hershon. If you don't like him, you call me Shechta. That's how it says. I think when the Meraglam came back, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, we should go to Eretz Yisrael anyway. So the Meraglim, so Yeshua and Kolev said, "Chizeh Bolvad Osalona Ben Amram." So all the people thought that they're going to say something negative about Kolev is going to say something negative about Moshe Rabbeinu. Why do they think he's going to say negative? Because he called them Ben Amram. If you like him, then you call him Moshe Rabbeinu. If you don't like him, you call him Ben Amram. So that's what he's angry at Yeshaya Navi. So he says, "Ben Amotz, Kalein Devo Aschavitzei." Haknish can shine. You don't know what you're talking about. I have a tradition from Dovin HaMelech that even after this exeremesh ma'afir chelav chadim menachas al savor shalodim ayim v'adim atzma menachem, the tefila, rachmim means tefila. You can always break exeres even after the exeres man. You can always be mispalal and the tefilas are going to help. Yeah, so he was mispalal and Amrav Chana afila balach alayim samle, even if you have a ruach hakodesh. The Gemara says in the first paragraph of Chagigah, even if you live in a generation when there's no longer any Nevuah, no longer any Roch HaKodesh, but B'chaloyim HaDababo, if you have the B'chaloyimus, so then it's a Miktos of a Nevuah. So that's what the Gemara says on the top line of Yom HaBes, Afila Bala Chaloyimus Amal HaLodim, the Machu HaMes, even if he has a Roch HaKodesh and he's going to die, he should still be Mizpala, you can break the Gzerah. Miyad he davens, Vayasav Chizkiyo Panav HaLakir, he faces the wall, and he davens. What do you mean? V'yasav panav el akir. What does it mean? So the Gemara has different interpretations. So one interpretation is that you shouldn't daven in front of something mafsik. That's a Gemara in other places. You shouldn't have a daven mafsik bein ol bein akir. But the Gemara here has other interpretations. So the first pshat is mikivas libo vayasev chizkiyo panov el hakir, means his thoughts were that he's going to die, and now he changed his thoughts, and he was mispalad that he should live on, he should get married, and he should have children, and that he should be able to have children. That's one interpretation. The other interpretation is vayasev panov el hakir. He mentioned in his tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he mentioned this chus that he has, that he is a descendant of Shlomo HaMelech. And Shlomo HaMelech coated the Beis HaMikdash with gold on the walls. What does he say? So he says, so his tefillah was, Ribbono Shel Olam, Ma Ish HaShunamis was blessed with a child, Shaloi Osas Ela Kirachas Ktana, she only made one kir. When Elisha came, so she told her husband, Isha Hashanam told her husband, let's make Aliyah's kir. So because she made one Aliyah's kir, Echiyeh says, Beno, her son came back to life after he died. Aviyaba, my Elta Zeta, my grandfather Shlomo HaMelech, Shechipas Echel Kula Bekesav Azov, Shlomo HaMelech built the place by Samigdosh, and he coated all the walls with gold and silver, Alachas Kama Vekama, that I should live on, and the Gzera should be broken. And he was sick, and Yishai Novi came to me, Mavakachela. That's how the whole story began. And Yishai Novi told me, you're going to die because you didn't fulfill Piririvya. So he says, give me a break, Rabbanu Shalom, let me live on. And it's chus that my grandfather, Shlomo HaMelech, coated the walls of the Beis HaMikdash with gold and silver. And then he adds on in his tefillah, I have a lot of chus, and I did a lot of mitzvahs. The Gemara is going to say that that's not a nice way to daven. It's not proper to daven like that. Even though the Rabbanu Shel Olam told him later on, you're going to live on, and he did live, and he got married, and he had children. So the Gemara says later, Hine l'sholem mar li mar. Afilu b'sho shishigal HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalom, mar hu lo. The Rabbanu Shel Olam bopped him over the head and said, you are asking that I should give you a break, because of your schus and because of your mitzvahs, ma'isim tovim, I'm going to give you a break. Babu David Avdi, not in your schus. So that's what the Gemara is going to point out now. That Chizkiyo HaMelech says, Chor no, Eis Hashem Salakti Lefanecha Be'emes V'Leif Shalom V'Atoy Be'enecha Asisi. What he's begging of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I deserve to live on in the schus of my ma'isim tovim. What does it mean, Atoy Be'enecha Asisi? So one pshat is, he always did this, but the Chachamim and later generations instituted it as a takana. We should have smichas gula tefila. He did it before the Chachamim instituted it. He did it on his own. Another suggestion is, what was so great about gona sefer refuas? Rashi says, kedesha yivakshu rachmin. People, usually when people are sick today, they go to a doctor and they rely on the doctor, and they don't offer any tefillahs at all. So that's not right. The Gemara says later that when you take a medicine, you're supposed to offer a tefillah. Whenever you take a pill, whenever you have any procedure, you're supposed to offer a tefillah. The Iker is really the tefillah. So he saw that the people are not offering any tefillahs. So gona sefer refuas, he shut down all the hospitals. So the people had no choice. So they had a daven. So he got everybody back into the mode of davening. Tana Rabbanu Shishu Devar Masach Chizkiyo HaMelech on his own, without consulting the Rabbanim. Three of the things that he did on his own, the Rabbanim were masking with him, and the other three, they were not masking. The three things that he did on his own, they were masking, was number one, going to say for a fuss, because the people weren't davening. So that Hodolah, they agreed. Kitas Nechash HaNechoshes. Nechash HaNechoshes was made by Moshe Rabbeinu. But the people got so much into the whole idea of the Nechash HaNechoshes was, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah asks a question, V'chinochesh Meimus HaNechosh Mechaya. The people look at the Nechash HaNechoshes, they get better. You have to take medicine, you have to swallow it, you have to rub it into the skin over here. You just look at the Nechash HaNechoshes, how is that going to help? So the Mishnah says, Ella, when they look at the Nechash HaNechoshes, if mishabdim libam laviyam shabbat shemaim, then it works. So the chasan hachoshes is not, and then it's not that accomplished the trick. That's a nichush. By looking, you think you're going to get better. I mean, if you look at the nachashan nachash, you look to the heavens, because Moshe Rabbeinu put it on a tall pole. So everyone looked up to the heavens, and they reminded themselves that their Baruch Shalom is in charge of the whole world, and they would offer tefillas.
So,
same with the hands, yeah. Same also. If stakum klapim maila mishabdim aslibam laviyam shpamarayim, right. The same Mishnah Maseches Roshon is by Nachash HaNachoshes as well. Chinochesh Meimus HaNochesh Mechayi. The answer is, Mishabdi B'libam Laviyam Shavah Shemayim. So, but in the days of Chizkiah HaMelech, he saw that the people were just believing in the Nachash HaNachoshes. If it's an oracle, as if it can do magic tricks, that people get better by looking. With that being, Mishabdi B'libam. So he destroyed the whole thing. So one can have a taina. But this was made by Moshe Rabbeinu upon the instructions of the Rabbanu Shalom. So how does he destroy it? The answer is, it was leading to a kilkul. The people were kemat nichosh. It was a nichosh. It's a nisav loisa nachshu veloisa aneinu. So the Gemara said, when he destroyed the Nachash HaNachoshes, the Rabbanim approved it. Rabbanim agreed with him. The third thing that he did on his own was Giratz Mesovu Almitu Shol Chabonim. His father was a king before him. His father was an Ovid Ovid Zorah. And there's a din number one of Kibbut Aviyem. Not allowed to be Mavazi, your father. Mechabda, Mechaim, Mechabda, Lacham. Also, you have to show respect to the father even after he died. And there's a din of Kveid HaMelech. You have to be Mechabda, Melech, also, Lacham, also. And over here, Giratz Mesavim Almitu Shol Chavolim. Despite the din of Kibbut Av, despite the din of Kveid HaMelech, he violated both. And he slept instead of carrying his father. Rashi says on Amito. What does Rashi say? The second line from the top in Rashi. To take him out on a mita of Zov Chesef, he didn't do that. He slept his body on mita shel chavolim, on ropes, and the body was bouncing on the ground, that there should be a bizoyan, and that should be a kapara for the father. What happened to the din of Kibbut Aviyem? What happened to the din of Kveid HaMelech? So I think Rashi writes there in Mokum Shenogu, in Psochem and Daf Nun Vav, that maybe it's in Sanhedrin, also where the Gemara quotes, in the middle of Sanhedrin, the Gemara quotes Giratz Musav and Meitzel Chavon. So Rashi writes, because the father of Iv Rosha, since the father was a Rosha, said there's neither a din of Kveid HaMelech nor is there a din of Kibbut Aviyem. Yeah, that's a question. Is that really true, that there's no din? Is that true that there's no din of Kibbut Aviyem? So that's a machlokes, the Rambam in the Tur. The Rambam says, when the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Mamrim, all the din of Kibbut Aviyem. So he says that the chi of Kibbut Aviyem applies whether the father is a tzaddik or a rasha. There is a din of Kibbut Aviyem. So what does the Rambam do with this Gemara? So the Tur quotes the Rambam, and then he says the Rambam is contradicted by the Gemara in the beginning of Ezel Neshech. The Gemara talks about the father used to lend money beribis, and he got rich by lending money beribis, and then the father dies. So the son wants to fulfill Kibbut Aviyem, so he wants to give back all of the ribis that the father collected during his lifetime. That it should be a kapara for the father. So the Gemara says, what kind of kapara? There's no Kibbut Aviyem if the father's a Rasha. The Gemara answers that the father did tshuva. The Gemara says, what kind of baloney? What kind of tshuva? The first step in tshuva is to give back the money. If you do tshuva and you don't give back the money, you don't get to first base. The Gemara says he wanted to give back the money and he died suddenly. So since he really did tshuva and he wanted to give back the money, so the father's no longer a Rasha. Yeah, but you see from the Gemara that if the father didn't do tshuva, then there's no mitzvah of Kibbut Aviyem at all. So that's the Tur's time against the Rambam. Don't you see from the Gemara? It's the first daf, I think, in Ezel Neshech. Don't you see from the Gemara that there's no din of Kibbut Aviyem if Aviv Rosha. So some say the Rambam holds pshat in the Gemara. The son wants to give back the ribis kitzutza that the father got paid, let's say, he collected an automobile as ribis. And the son is going to drive around in the automobile. So everybody's going to say, oh, that's the automobile that the father collected, but ribis. He wants to give back the order of Beel. There's a double Mesuyim over here. He wants to give back the order of Beel that people shouldn't keep on talking about. So that's what the Gemara says. There's no din of Kibbut Aviyem to cover up on the father's Avera. There is a din of Kibbut Aviyem, even of Hirosha, but there's no mitzvah of Kibbut Aviyem to cover up on the Avera that he's doing. In that area, he's a Bal Avera. And other things to say there's a din of Kibbut Aviyem. You have to give a service, you have to respect the father, give service. But a mitzvah to cover up on the Avera, that he took a Dovah Mesuyim as Rivas, that not. Others say differently. The truth is a din of Kibbut Aviyem, Mechabde Mechai Mechabde Lachamos. So the din of Kibbut Aviyem applies both while the parents are alive and after they die. So while the parents are alive, the din applies. The Rambam says the din applies even if the father's a Rasha. But after the father dies, that Gemara is talking after the father died, then there's no longer a din of Kibbut Aviyem. If the father's a Rasha, what's the Biur Hadovar? So it could be that the Hesber is the following possible interpretation. The Minchas Chinuch raises a question, which other poskim discuss, Halacha L'maisa also, whether the nature of the mitzvah of Kibbut Aviyem is ben Odom L'mokam or ben Odom L'chaveru. What's the difference, Halacha L'maisa? Din is a din. So the Minchas Chinuch has the shaila. Let's say the person violated Kibbut Aviyem and it cursed him, and it's time to do tshuva. So if you did an aver ben odom lachavero, the tshuva doesn't get off the ground. Tshuva doesn't begin into achivakesh mena mechila. You have to ask the person mechila. So let's say he didn't insult the parents. He got married and he moved away. And he never contacts the parents at all. He treats the parents like everybody else in the city. Once he moves away, he has no shaychas with them. So that's the shaila, is the din of Kibbut Aviyem ben Odom L'chavero. He didn't go out of his way to be mechabed them. Is it ben Odom L'chavero? So his tshuva doesn't begin until he asks mechila from the parents and the meichel. What do you say? No, he didn't hurt their feelings. B'kumbi asei. It's just, he treated them like everybody else in the city. He got married, moved away, and goodbye. He has no kesher with the parents at all. So maybe that's not really ben Odom L'chavero. Maybe that's only ben Odom L'mokam. In what sense is it ben Odom L'mokam? So the Minchas Chinuch quotes the Gemara at the end of the first parak in Kiddushim, where the Gemara has the idea of the Shlosha Shutvim Yesh Ba'odam. Every person, there are three Shutvim in bringing him about. You have the father and the mother, and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam are the three Shutvim. And the Gemara has an expression that if you'll be mechabed your parents, I'll consider it as if you're mechabed me, because we're all shutvim and bringing you into the world. And if you'll be mevazeh your parents, I'll consider it as if you're mevazeh me. So maybe, while the parents are alive, there's a din of Kibbut Aviyem, out of HaKoras HaTov, you're a debt of gratitude to your parents, they brought you into the world. So that's Taka Shibud Ben Odom L'chaveroi. So if one was in violation of Kibbut Aviyem while the parents are alive, then it is ben odom l'chaveru. You have to ask mechila from the parents. But after the parents die, you don't have shibudim to a mace. A mitzvah ben odom l'chaveru means shibudim. Shibud to the person. There never any shibudim to dead people. But nonetheless, the Gemara says, mechabda mechai mechabda l'chamosa. There is a din of Kibbut Aviyem, even after the parents die. So the answer is, that element, that aspect of Kibbut Aviyem that applies even after the parents die, that must be based on the shlosh shut from the yesh ba'odim. Means that there are two elements, that both elements are correct. What the Minchas Chinuch's suffix was, they're both correct. It's both Ben Odom L'Mokam and Ben Odom L'Chaveru. So Kozman, the parents are alive. In addition to being Ben Odom L'Mokam, that whoever's Mechabed the parents is considered as if the Mechabed the Rebbeinu Shalom, because the third part in the Rebbeinu Shalom is invisible. Whoever's Mevaza the parents are considered as if the Mevaza the third Shutif, the Rebbeinu Shalom. So Kozman, the parents are alive, it's a Shibud ben Odom L'chaveru. So even if the parents are Rishayim, you have to give them HaKoras HaTov that they brought you into the world. But after the parents die, there's no Shibudim to amaze, then the ben Odom L'chaveru element is no longer there. So just the ben Odom L'mokam will be there. So that is as far to say, when do you say that by showing kavod to the parents, this is indirectly considered as if you showed kavod to Ribbono Shel'olam. If the parents are reasonable shutvim, if the parents are shamei mitzvahs, but if the parents are Russia, parents are Rishayim, so what? The Rebbeinu Shalom feels honored by you showing kavod to the parent who's he has a shutuf. Baruch Shalom is not happy about two shutufs. He has a shutufs with a fellow who's a Rasha. Although the imam are not they're Rishayim, they're not tzaddikim. So maybe that's what it means. Maybe Machabda Lacha Moisai doesn't apply. Maybe that Gemara in the beginning of Ezeo Neshech, the Rambam writes that the Dina Kibbut Aviyem applies even of the Rasha, and the Turiya said it's against the Gemara. So that's what the Maharsham's brother, I think, has that Heorah. Maharsham has a Sefer in Yerudeh that's called Das Torah. So at the end, it's a Likut of Achareinim, like a Darke Tshuva. Maharsham is a big bucky. Maharsham, the Das Torah was written before the Darke Tshuva. So at the end of the Sefer, the Das Torah in Yerudeh, so they have the Oris from the brother of the Maharsham, I think. So this is the aura that he has. He thinks that Chabda Lachamoso doesn't apply by Aviv Rosh. That's the teretz on the Rambam. And that's the same thing by the Melech. You have to be Mechabed the Melech, even if the Melech is a Rosh, because we learn out, where do we see in Tanakh, you have to be Mechabed the Melech? Eliyahu Anovi is running in front of Achav HaRosh. Vaishana says, Masnov, the Rambam quotes that pasuk. Achav was Anovi Rabbi Zorah. And he pressured everybody else to worship Abed Zorah also. So still, that's a din of Kveid HaMelech when the Melech is alive. But after the Melech dies, if the Melech, also there's a din of Kovid, Kovid HaMelech, who is Tzidkiyo HaMelech. I forgot the whole story. Tzidkiyo HaMelech was fired by the Melech Bavel. Forgot the whole story. He removed him from the Malchus. And nonetheless, the Rabban Shalom tells Tzidkiyo HaMelech, the Misr first of Asach HaMelechim Yisr Fucho. When you die, they're going to treat you as the Melech. The Baruch Shalom says, we still consider you the Melech. Even though Melech Bavel fired you, and he took you, he put him in prison. I forgot already the whole story. He blinded him. But nonetheless, the Baruch Shalom says, there's a din of Sarfim Ala Melochim. After the king dies, you're not allowed to use any of the clothing that the king used to wear while he was alive. Shabbos clothing, weekday clothing, not allowed to use any of the utensils. The chairs, anything that was miyuchot for him. So they used to burn it. They used to burn everything. So the goyim had that practice. They used to burn everything out of kovod to the melech, and the Jews did it as well. And the Gemara raises the issue, why isn't it an Isser of chukas akum? So the Gemara says, no, because it makes sense. So from al melechim, eimam shem darke amari, it makes sense. Let's say the goyim eat French fries. How are we allowed to eat French fries? The answer is, why do they eat it? Because it tastes good. Goyim eat southern fried chicken. So how are we allowed to eat southern fried chicken? It tastes good. Goyim wear summer clothing and winter clothing. In the summertime they wear light clothing, in wintertime they wear heavy clothing. It makes sense. So whenever, that's what the Mefarshim on Yerudei say. It's only called chukasak, chukasem lo selechu. A chok is something belitam. Or the way the Ramban says, not belitam. The Ramban has on Shiloh HaKana, it does mean that there's no reason. We don't know what the reason is. Not obvious. Baruch Shalom has a good reason, but it's not obvious. Like in Eretz Yisrael, they say the Chukei HaKnesset, Af Echad Lo Yodei at that time. Even the members of the Knesset don't know the reason for the Chukei HaKnesset. Chok is Belita. No one knows what it is. So Chukei Seim Lo Eselecha means a Minik Shtus. A Chok that it does make any sense. But if something that does make sense, so there's no Iser of Chukei Sakum. So that's what the Gemara says, Sarfim ala Malachim, you're allowed to burn all the belongings, but the Ovdi Abed Zor used to burn the man's wife also. So that we don't do that. By the Ovdi Abed Zor who do this not only by the Melech, any time a husband dies, so they burn the wife alive. Out of respect for the husband, no one else should be allowed to marry his wife. So that's ridiculous. So we have it, so we don't burn the people alive. So there is a din, though, Almanos HaMelech, no one is allowed to marry. That's takya unfair. Just because she married the Melech, she's not allowed to marry anybody else later on. The machlek is whether Melech is allowed to marry Almanas HaMelech. Is the next Melech allowed to marry the Almana of the previous Melech? That's a discussion in Sanhedrin. But so you don't burn the wife, but you burn all the belongings that the king had. So that's what the Gemara says. So from the Melech, ve'emem shem darkei hamer. So they bring the mocker is from that pasuk by Tzidkiyo HaMelech that the Rabban Shalom said. The Rabbi told him, when you die, they're going to call you the Melech, and they're going to be Sarfim Ala Melech. Even though Melech Babel fired you, even though he blinded you, but the Jewish people still consider you the Melech. That's what the Rav Soloveitchik once said over the, I think, the Russian government. The Teferis Yankev, Rav Yankev Gesundheit, was the Rav in what city? I forgot already. Warsaw. He was the rabbi in Warsaw. Warsaw was a big city. He didn't have any university degree. So the government fired him. They insisted all the rabbis have to have a university degree. So when he said, he wasn't the rabbi of Warsaw anymore. So when he died, the Beis HaLevi said, the Hesped, we still consider you the rabbi in Warsaw. Just like the Navi told Tzidkiyo HaMelech, Memisifis of Sachem Elochem, Shehoyel Lefanecha Yisrafucha, we still consider you the Melech. We still consider you the chief rabbi of Warsaw.
I know we make a difference between not being Mechabed,
Mm-hmm. He was Mavazeh. He could have done nothing. He put him on the ropes. He carried him. But
that's one thing.
Gemara says that it's more of a kapara if the person suffers bizyonis after he dies. So let's say, it's a kapara for the nifter if they didn't deliver nice hespedim, because they mevazeh him, or if it was raining and they buried him and there was mud all over the place, so they rushed to the funeral, or something went wrong. So the Gemara says whenever there was this yonis to the mace, that serves as a kapara for the mace. So he was mevazeh his father, that in the hope that maybe his father would get a kapara by that. But the shaila that Rashi raises is this Rashi, not the Rashi there in Sanhedrin, I think, or in Pesachim or in Shenagu. How was he allowed to do it? He was the son. It was in violation of Kibbut Aviyev. It was a violation of Kvod HaMelech. So the answer to both was that he was a Russian. He was a Russian. Aye, but Kvod HaMelech applies to even if the Melech is a Russian. Rashana says, Maslam Eliyahu Navi shows Kovet to Achav. Achav was a Russian. So that's what the Marsham's brother quotes a Yerushalmi in Megillah, I think. In the Horus, in the end of the Dastar, quotes a Yerushalmi that the Kovet HaMelech, Russia is only B'chayiv, Lachamos or not. When Ben Gurion was alive and he came to the Yeshiva, Rabbi Soloveitchik was Mechabed him. But after he died, Rabbi Soloveitchik never was Mechabed. Other people, they made dedicated all kinds of things in memory of Ben Gurion. That's not B'chayiv, you have to. It's the covet of the nation. It's not his covet of the nation. Ben Gurion said that he was an atheist. Probably not true. Probably a liar. Probably was not an atheist. He was always quoting the Tanakh. I can't be an atheist. But he was not a Shomer Mitzvah. He was far from being a Shomer Mitzvah. Yeah. So, but Bechayev, that's the din. You have to be Mechabed al-Melech, the Rosh HaMemshalah Bechayev. Even if he's a Russia, that's what you see from Eliyahu Navi. But Shana says Mosnov. But the Melech Lachamosef, the Melech was a Melech Russia, there's no din of Kovet. So based on that Yerushalmi that distinguishes between the Melech Bechayv and Melech Lachamoso, so one can say that's what the Masham's brother says, the same thing, he answers the Kasha and the Rambam. The Rambam says the Kibbut Aviyev applies even of Aviv Russia. It's against the Gemara in his own Neshach, so that's what he says. The chiluk between Tzadik and Rosha, Lacha Misa. Mechayim, there's a din of Kibbutz, even of Rosha, maybe because Mechayim, it's a din of a Shibud Ben Orma Chavera. But Lacha Misa, there are no Shibudim to a mace. So maybe then it's only Ben Orma Lamokim. So the Ben Orma Lamokim is because Shlosh Yishut from Yesh Ba'adam. So the Ben Shalom is embarrassed with this Shut. That could be the pshat. Anyway, this is the famous Gemara. So this is one of the three things that he did. V'hodulo. Giratz Mesolav Al-Mitru Shalavad. Mishlept, he was Mavazah, the father's body, after he died. He slept him on the ground. V'hodulo. So there should be a kapora for the father. V'hodulo. V'hodulo. Three things that he did on his own and the Rabbanim were not happy with. Number one, Mesosame Agichon. V'lo hodulo. Maze Agichon. So Rashi says, Gichon is one of the big rivers. So Rashi writes, we're not talking about V'lo zeh gichon anor ha-gorol V'ulav in Parshas Bereishis. Not talking about the four rivers. V'ulav Eretz Yisrael hu. What does it got to do with Tzidke? What does it got to do with Chizkiyo HaMelech? V'amayin katn hu samach Hashem. There's a mayon, not a nohar. There's a mayon. V'ratim osel gichon targeminon to the Shiloach. The shilach was a mayon, a little mayon. Mayon cotton samach Yerushalayim. He used to fill the water from the shilach for nisach hamayim, no? I think Rashi says like that in Sukkah. He used to fill the water for nisach hamayim from the shilach. Mei ha-shilach ha-hochim la'at. It's a pasuk in Novi, I think. Mei ha-shilach ha-hochim la'at. The gematria of la'at, lamed aleph tes, is 40. What's the significance of that? The gematria of la'at is 40. The Rashbon, the Torah Sabayis, a funny thing, you remember. The rest of the Rashba I don't remember. But this line is humorous, so this I remember. The Rashba has, there's a machlekes of Rishon, but they need 40 saw by a mayon. If a person is tovel in a mikveh, the Gemara says, Maim should call gufa alabahem, and you need abayim sa. What about a mayon? So that's a machlek. So the Rashba sets on off in a pasuk. Mei ha-shilach ha-ochem la'at. Shilach was a mayon. Rashi says mayon koton. And it's a ho-chem la'at. Lamed alef tes is abayim. So you see on off in a pasuk that you need 40 saw for tefillah sodom even in a mayon. That's to halam de shashayla. What's the machlek? So it's a big discussion in the Torah Sabayis. When you learn Yerideya, different parts of Shulchan Aruch are based on different Rishonim. So Yerideya, the beginning of the first Chelek Yerideya is all based on the Rashbon, the Torah Sabayis. But this is in the end, this is the other part of the Torah Sabayis that nobody ever reads, Hilchos Mikvos. Hardly anybody ever reads that part. But that's the gematria that it has there. The Shiloh is not the same as Shiloh. I remember when I took a course here in the college in Paradise Lost with Professor Fleischer. So he was not, he didn't know that Shiloh and Shiloach are two different things. Shiloh is a city in Shiloh. And Shiloach is a Mayan. Michutz Yerushalayim, two different things. Because Paradise Lost, Milton quotes something about the Shiloach. So the professor thought that it's the same as Shiloh. Two different things. One is a city, one is a mayon. So Rashi says that Gichon over here, Sosa Mea Gichon, why did Chizkiah HaMelech, why was he Sosa Mea Gichon? So Rashi explains why. Kedei Shalei Yavoh Malchei Ashur Yimtzu Maim Lishtos. This is for the war effort. He was afraid that the enemy would come and they would have water from the Gichon, from the Mei HaShiloach. So he was soysim, so they felt that that was wrong. He should have davened to the Baruch Hashem, shouldn't have been soysim de mayim. The Rabbanim are not happy with that. What's the other thing that he did? Kitzes dalsa sahechol v'shigram melech ashur v'lehod delo. They want to attack the Beis HaMikdash, so there's a din l'sasim kein l'shem l'kechem. Noite tzevim meram izbech. You're going to break down the doors of the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to. You're destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Then you're going to give it away as a gift to Melech Ashur. It's a Nisa Me'ila. When you give away something from HaMikdash to the Nochri, it's a Nisa Me'ila. So he thought that it's Pikuach Nefesh. It's Zecha Kol HaTorah Kula. If it would be Pikuach Nefesh, it would be correct. But the Hodoloh, they felt that there's a limit. That's not proper. To do that, Mishum Pikuach Nefesh, was not right. Strictly speaking, if there really is Pikuach Nefesh, you got to do whatever you have to do. But his assessment was a little exaggerated. Even a sveksveka pikoch nefesh, you have to destroy the whole Beis HaMikdash. But they felt there wasn't. His assessment was incorrect. It wasn't. This wasn't going to solve the problem. To take down kitzes dalsa echel and send it to Melech Ashur as a matana and say don't destroy the Beis HaMikdash, that was not a smart calculation. And the last mistake that he did was Iber Nisim and Nisim Elohodolo. You have a Shana Pshut and a Shana Mu'beris. The Shnas HaLevona is, what, 354 days. The Shnas HaChama is 365 days. So it's 11 days longer. So if you're just going to go, every year is going to have 12 months. And every month either has 29 days or 30 days, because the difference between one boil and the other is 29 and a half days. So every other month is going to have 30 days, every other month is going to have 29 days, and you're going to keep on going like that. So since the Shnas HaLevana is 11 days shorter than the Shnas HaChama, so every year Pesach will be 11 days earlier, and Sukkot will be 11 days earlier. So Pesach is going to be floating around. Sometimes it's going to be in the middle of winter, sometimes it's going to be in the middle of fall, sometimes in the springtime, that's when it belongs, sometimes it's going to be in the summer, it'll be kakai. And Pesach is supposed to be the Chodesh Aviv, and Sukkah is supposed to be the Zman Ha'asif, has to correspond to the events in the solar year. The Rambam writes, the months, our calendar is an androgynous. It's a half lunar, half solar. The Rambam writes, the years, Achotshe Hachama, the years of solar years, and the months are lunar months. The Chadoshim Achotshe HaLavana, depends on when the Lavana appears, and the years are supposed to be Shonim of the, correspond to the solar year. So you have to make every couple of years, you have to make an order shame. So who makes it? Bezna has to make. The Rambam thinks that it's a function of the Bezna Gadol, not that you need all 71 members of the Bezna Gadol, but the Bezna Gadol has to appoint a Bezna of three, that they should supervise the Ibra Hashana, the Kiddush HaChodesh. For Ibra Hashana, they used to start off with three, then have five, then have seven. Bamikra Din, that was what they did, that was Lamahadrin. Bamikra Din, all you need is a Bezna of three. Same as Kiddush HaChodesh. Same as Kiddush HaChodesh. So the beginning of the Chodesh HaRishon is Chodesh Nisan. When you have a Shana Mubaris, you have 13 months instead of 12 months. So you have to decide before the year is up, before Chodesh Adar is up, you have to decide that this year is going to become a Shana Mubaris and there's going to be an Adar Sheni. You can't decide after it already became Nisan, you already declared Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and then you're weak into Nisan. It's another four days is going to be Erev Pesach, got a Shechtigar and Pesach, Yudal and Nisan, and then the Bezna decides, no, we're going to declare this as Adar Sheni. It's too late. If it's already, Chodesh Nisan entered already, so you can't decide that it should become retroactively, ex post facto, it should become Adar Sheni. So the Gemara says, that was the mistake that he did. Iber Nisan bin Nisan, he declared a Shalom Uberes, he pushed off Nisan, and everybody brought the Korban Pesach a month later, and it was Shaloi Kakosuv, the Pesach says. They brought the Korban Pesach Shaloi Kedin. They should have brought, and they observed Pesach the wrong time. They should have observed Pesach last month. He declared, the wise guy, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, he declared in the middle of Nisan, the Gemara is going to soften it a little bit. It's not as bad as it sounds. The Gemara, the first Tatsuf, Iber Nisan Ben Nisan, he decided to declare the Chodesh Nisan as Adar Sheni, after Nisan already entered, v'lehodolo. And the Chacham said that's against the din. You have to declare that it's a Shana Mubaris before Adar comes to an end. You can't first make Rosh Chodesh Nisan and then in the middle of Nisan declare that ex post facto this is really Adar Sheni. So the Gemara asks on the last thing. That doesn't make any sense. Miles lechizkia, Chodesh Zalachem, Rosh Chodesh, Mzev Nisachan Nisan. You can't declare in the middle of Nisan that it's Adar Sheni. It's too late. That's ridiculous. Even Nisim and Nisim, he wouldn't have made such a mistake. But the Pasuk says that everybody brought the Korban Pesach, they observed Pesach the wrong month. They straightened it out afterward. But for a month or so, everybody was going with the wrong cheshbon of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, because he controlled the media. He controlled the police, and he controlled the Beis HaMikdash. He said everybody should bring the Korban Pesach a month after. And everybody was eating chametz on Pesach, and then the next month he told them they should eat matzah. So the Gemara says, it wasn't even Nisim and Nisim like we, not as bad as we, we're exaggerating. They made a mistake, a dakistic mistake, that what any given month can either have 29 or 30 days. So let's say the month of Adar. So normally, Adar HaSomach LeNisim has 29 days, normally. If you have a Shonim Uberis, Adar Sheni is going to have 29 days. If you want, you can make Ador. That was the way the normal was. Elul, normally Elul is Choser, and normally Ador HaSomach LeNisan is Choser. That's what the Netziv writes in his commentary on Chumash, and on Parshas Emor, and the Parshas HaMoados. So he writes that even at the time that there was Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Hariya, and there was a, what we call a real Sveika D'Yoma, it was never really a real Sveika D'Yoma, because they never had 2 days Yom Kippur. No one ever fasted 2 days Yom Kippur. So you can say no one fasted 2 days Yom Kippur because it's a suffix of constifushes. So maybe they didn't allow anybody to fast because if some of the people would fast, they would die to fast. But they, no one ever observed 2 days Yom Kippur for Malacha either. There's no suffix of constifushes by Malacha on Yom Kippur. How can Norman ever observe 2 days Yom Kippur, even when there was a real speck of the Yoima? The answer is, even when there's a real speck of the Yoima, wasn't a real Sufik there, I said the Chumr. Wasn't a 50-50 Sufik. The odds were, Ruba de Ruba was that Adar HaSamach LeNisan is going to be Choser, it's not going to be Malay, and Elul is going to be Choser. The Gemara makes a statement, one opinion makes a statement, the days of Ezra, the story is related in Nehemiah. Nehemiah is this, there is no such book as Nehemiah. In the Christian Bible, they made Nehemiah a separate book. And in the Jewish Bible, in the Tanakh, Nehemiah is the second half of Ezra. It's all that Sefer Ezra. So Nehemiah, it says that year they made Elo Me'uber. Elo had 30 days, and they had 2 days Rosh Hashanah that year. In the Beis Hamikdash, had 2 days Rosh Hashanah. But the Gemara says that was a quirk from the days of Ezra Ve'elach Lamitzin and El till the days of the Gemara. That was a long time, several centuries. The Baisheni lasted over 400 years. According to the history books, lasted over 500 years. Lasted a long time, and they said they never had El Mubar. So that's what the Netziv claims, that even when there was a real Sfeik HaDiyama, there was never really a Sfeik HaDiyama. He says, they never counted Sfeiros HaYomer 2 days. How come they never counted Sfeik HaDiyama Sfeiros HaYomer? So the Netziv says, because there was never really a Sufik. The Sufik has to be close to 50-50. He says, it was never 50-50. If they knew where Rosh Chodesh Adar was, so Adar HaSamach LeNisan is always Choser. If you knew when Rosh Chodesh Elul was, by the time it came Rosh Hashanah, some stuff all over the world, it was 30 days later, 4 weeks later. Some everybody already heard when Rosh Chodesh Elul was. So Elul is always Chaser. So he says, even Mizman Shekidshol Peria, there wasn't really a Sveik Adiyah. Rashi in the beginning of Beitza learns that it's a machloikis in the Gemara, whether Mizman Shekidshol Peria, whether the observance of Yom Tov Shenei Shel Galus was a real din de Rabbanan, and they're only a minig. As much as Kitchel Piyaria, one was what we call a real Sveik HaDiyayma, so then it says there was never really a Sveik HaDiyayma. It's a machlek, whether it's the Rabbanon or a Minig. Then in the days of Abai Verova, their counterpart in Eretz Yisrael made the Luach Kavua. Hillel Hasheni made the Luach Kavua. So now we know 1,000 years in advance. They knew 1,000 years ago that this coming Friday and Shabbos is going to be Rosh Chodesh Marcheshvan. They knew already way in advance. So what kind of Sveik HaDiyama is there today? So it really doesn't make sense that we observe 2 days Yom Tov today. So when they made the Luach Kavu on the days of Abai Barabba, the Rabbanim and Eretz sent a message to the B'nai Chutz Lords, Yizar B'minin Avaseich Meidechim, they should still continue to observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias like they always observed when there was a Sveik HaDiyama. And what's the nature of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias today? So that's a machlokes in Sukkah, that's a machlokes Tosfos in Neran. Tosfos' opinion is that the lashon that they sent was Yizar B'minig, Avaseich Meidechem, Yom Tov Sheni B'zman Hazeh is only a minig. And the Ram disagrees, says, no, that was the lashon that they sent in the letter. Yizar B'minig, Avaseich Meidechem. But if the word minig doesn't mean it's only a minig. The dinim d'araisa, dinim d'rabbanan minig means you should still continue the practice of your ancestor. The practice was that they observed Yom Tov Sheni, but it was a takana d'rabbanan. That's a major machlokes, Tosfos in the Ram. According to Rashi, there was a machlokes before the days of Abai Verova, when there were Mekadosh al Pi Ariya. There was a machlokes like that. So the Rambam's opinion is, and the Mishnah Torah, and the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam says that Kiddush HaChodesh Yibra Hashanah has to be taken care of by the Bezna Gadol. You don't need all the 71 members of the Bezna Gadol. It's enough with the Bezna B. Of the Yibra Hashanah, you need 3, 5, 7. At the end, when they declare Shana Zuma Veres, you need Lechatchili, you need 7. But this 3, the Bezna 3, 5, 7, should be appointed by the Bezna Gadol. They have to have smicha, they don't necessarily have to be members of the Bezna Gadol. They could be members, it could be a different group of 3 people have smicha. But the Rama holds that it has to be done under the auspices of the Bezna Gadol. The Ramban disagrees with the Rambam and the Sefer, and says, how can it be? Till the days of Abai Verova, they had Kiddush HaChodesh al Pi Ariya. There was no Bezna Gadol. What is the Rambam imagining? In the days of Abai Verova, there was a Bezna Gadol. The Gemara says, 40 years before the Churban Bayis. Churban Bayis was in the year 70, so 40 years before, the Sanhedrin went into Golus, and they no longer had the din of Bezna Gadol. The Gemara said, Melamash HaMakim Garim, if they're not in the Lishkas HaGozis, or if they're not in Yerushalayim, so they don't have a din of Bez Nagoros. And they were in Yavne and Ushan, Sipori and Tiberia and Shvarim. Different, they kept on floating around. Eser Goli is Golsa Sanhedrin. They were in different places. How can the Rambam hold that they had a din of Bez Nagol? So the Nisei Keleman, the Sefer Mitzvahs, the Meforshim say the Rambam thinks that they had the Bez Nagol. Then they get the din in the Foshes. When they're no longer meeting in the Lishka Sagozin, no longer in Yerushalayim, they no longer have a din of Bez Nagol. There may be minigeta other dinim, other aspects of the Bez Nagol. They did have a din of Bez Nagol. So the Rambam thinks that the Bez Nagol continued to exist until the days of Abai Barava. Achidish, the Ramban says he doesn't think that's true. 40 years before the Churban Abai's Golsa Sanhedrin, there was no din of Bez Nagol. He quotes a Mechilta that says, like the Rambam, that Kiddush Chodesh is supposed to be done by the Bez Nagol. I said, of course, it's not right. I mean, any Tom, Dick, and Harry, Rabbi Tom, Rabbi Dick, and Rabbi Harry, well, they got smicha. They marched in the Chag HaSmicha, they got smicha. And because their child is going to be bar mitzvah, and the kid doesn't know his haftarah yet, so they want to have an extra month, so they're going to declare Shana Moberes. So Kol HaKodim Zocha, whoever, a bezna of three people are going to declare Shana Moberes, going to declare Rosh Chodesh, that's going to be Hefker. So he says the din is that Kol HaKodim Zocha, whichever three people will declare Shana Moberes or Rosh Chodesh, whoever paskins first will win. But he says it's not right. It's a psak that's neget all of Klal Yisrael. So the correct thing is that such a psak should be issued under the auspices of the Bez Nagol. But it's not really Lihikuba. The Acheretz dictates that it's a psak that's neget all of Klal Yisrael. So the Ramban thinks that Mikra Din, you don't really need Bez Nagol. And that's why it was shaykh to continue to have Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashana up until the days of Abai Barav, even though there was no Bez Nagol. So that's the shaila over here. Iber Nissen ben Nissen. So first, the way the Gemara exaggerates, sounds like in the middle of Nissen, he decided to postpone Pesach another month. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Everybody knows that thing. Zed Nissen, Einach and Nissen, Elator b'dishmol, I made a dakas dik a mistake. Let's say Ador can either have 29 or 30 days. The first one, every month has to have, at least every month has, you never have a month less than 29 days or more than 30 days. Either 29 days or 30 days. The Bezna has a right to decide between 29 and 30. You can't have a year with less than 12 months or more than 13 months. The Bezna only has the right to decide, is it the Shana Pshuta with 12 months or the Shana Moberes with 13 months? So the Gemara says, what if it's already the end of Adar, and it's already, today is the 30th day of Adar, so they're going to declare that tomorrow should be Rosh Chodesh Nisan. They're going to decide to leave Adar Mole, and today the 30th day should still be Adar, and they're going to declare that this year should be Hashanah Moberes, and tomorrow should be Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So that's what Shmuel said, that's not right. Because basically the year was over already. Adar can either have 29 days or 30 days. So it's not right to declare on the very last day of Adar, the 30th day of Adar, that theoretically you could have had Adar without 30 days. It could have been with 29 days. You should declare on the last day that this year is Hashanah Moberes and tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And tomorrow, instead of being Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it's going to be Rosh Chodesh Adashim. So Shmuel says that that's not right. Since theoretically he could have declared the 30th day as Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so that's not right to declare on that day that it should be Hashanah Moberes and that tomorrow should be Rosh Chodesh Adashim. So the Gemara says, Sovar, Chizkiyah HaMelech thought, Hal v'roi le'amin. You don't say like Shmuel, and the Bezna lehodol, the Bezna was not happy. Bezna held that the din is like Shmuel. You should not wait so long. So the Pasuk says that he did Shaloi Kedin. He had everybody observe Pesach the wrong month, a month after, and they brought Korban Pesach the wrong time, and they were eating chametz. Pesach was really a month earlier, but he called Adar Sheni, it was really Nissan, and everybody was eating chametz because of him. And then after a while, after a month or so, they straightened out the mess. That mess was never straightened out. Everybody ate chametz on Pesach, and no one brought the Korban Pesach properly. Yeah. So three things he did, Hodolo Chachamim, six things he did on his own. Shish Adar Masa Chizkio on his own. Shlosh Hodol or Shlosh Allah Hodol.
Should have asked Bezdin. He should have consulted with Bezdin. He didn't consult with Bezdin. He just... Bezdin.
Pella.
After the fact, they found out.
Yeah. Very Pelladic. Very strange Gemara. Yeah. So then the Gemara makes the comment when he offered his tefillah, when Shai Anavi came to visit him, to be Mabakachol, and he tells me, you're going to die. Tzav lebeischa, leave it tzava, kemesata. Well, look, you're going to drop dead, and you're not going to get better because you violated Piri Verivia. And then he davens, and he gets better. So when he davened, Takodesh Baruch Hu, miyad, Vayasev Chizkio Ponev Alakir, Vayispalo, and what did he say? I deserve, give me a break, because Hatoy Ben Echa Asisi. Schor Nais Asher Salachti Lefanecha, Be'emesu V'leisham, Hatoy Ben Echa Asisi, give me a break, I deserve, I should have a refuah shleim. So the Gemara says, Zambar Rabbi Yechem, Mishamim B'yaisi Ben Zimra, Kolotele B'schus Atzmo, if a person offers a tefillah and he says, Ribbono Shlom, give it to me, I deserve it, even if they'll give in to him, they'll bop him over the head and they'll tell him, I'm giving in not to your prayers, but because your ancestors were big tzaddikim. In the schus of David. But if a person davens properly and says, I have schus of this, my grandfather was a tzaddik, my great-grandfather was a tzaddik, I'm a descendant from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankov. So then, sometimes, when later on they give the person the hatzolah, so min hashamayim, they'll let everybody know that he deserved it, that it was in his chus, because he didn't speak with such arrogance, I deserve. He said, give me a break in the chus of us that I have. So Gemara gives the mashal. Moshe told him, b'schus rahem, shenam b'scholi, Abraham l'itzkol yisrael avadecho. He asked that Rabbanu Shalom forgive this sin, the chet ha'egel, because in the chus of Abraham Yitzchak Yankiv. So then the Rabbanu Shalom forgave this sin, and it was recorded by the Nevi'im that it was because of Moshe Rabbeinu's chus. Shenema, Vayomer lahashmidein, the Rabbanu Shlom was considering destroying the Jewish people. Vayomer, he was considering destroying, killing all the Jews. Luli Moshe b'chira, amad ba'peretz lefanav, l'havshir chamosai, mehashchis, Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalot. So the Pasuk says in Tilim that it was in the chus of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. Why is it say? Because Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah was he was mispalel in the schus of the Obas, so the Nevi'im, David HaMelech says in Tilim that it was really in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Chizkiyahu HaMelech Faker told him the schus Atzma, when he davened to Ribbono Shlom for refuah shleima, he said, Schonos Avshar Salachnu L'chanecho, so min HaShemayim they gave him refuah, and he got married and had children. So told him the schus Chaim, they bopped him over head and they told him that it's not in your schus. It's in the schus of the Garnos Ali Razos, Lahoshia Lamani, the man David Abdi, not in the schus of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, in the schus of David HaMelech. And that's what it says, Hinei L'Shalom, Marli Ma, Afilu B'Shal Shishil Gadosh Baruch Hashalom, when it was peaceful. Yeah, when the enemy, Sancheiriv soldiers all left, so it was Marhulo, they told him it's not in his schus, not in his schus. The Gemara mentioned before that one pshat was Vayasev Chizkiyahu Ponev Al Akir. So the Gemara in another place says when you daven, you should daven right in front of the wall. You shouldn't have a dover mapsik ventai. But that's the Gemara later. But this Gemara is giving additional interpretations El Akir. So one of the pshatim was Aliski Hakir. So Chizkiyahu Melech asked Ribbono Shel Olam in the Tefillah Kavachomer that the Isha Shunam is, all she did for Elisha Navi was Kirachas Ketana, and the schar of that Kirachas Ketana that she made, Hechiyeh says, Beno, the baby came back to life. So Avi Abba, my great-grandfather, Shlomo HaMelech, built the Beis HaMikdash, and he coated all the walls with gold and silver. Alachas Kama V'Kama, she gave me a refuah shleima. So that's what the Gemara quotes now. Nasa no alias kir. What does it mean? When the Isha Shanam has told her husband, there's a holy tzaddik, Elisha Navi is a holy tzaddik, and we should really be machnes archim, we should make a separate room for him. What does it mean alias kir? So it's a machleik his Rabbi Shmuel. What are they arguing about? Chadama aliyah prua ha'isa viki ruha. They had an upper floor, an aliyah, and they never had a roof on top. So they put on a roof. No one was ever using it. No one ever lived it. So now that they wanted Elisha to stay by them, so they put on a roof. So that's called kir. A kir means, that's a question. Kir usually means a wall. Kir means a wall. It doesn't mean a roof. Tikra is a roof. So the Gemara is going to say the word kir has the same meaning as a tikra. Okay. So the Gemara says it's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. What did they change in the building in order to house Elisha Novi? Chadama, one of the two, Rabbi Shmuel had a machlekes. One of them says aliyah pru ha'isa. They had an aliyah. They had a rooftop, and they had no roof on top of it. The keruah, and they put a roof on top. Chadama, achseidu gedol ha'isa. The home that they lived in was a gigantic room. The chilkul shnayim, and they made it into, we used to living in houses with many rooms. And years ago, the whole house was one room. They said, achsavtem al mezuzah beisecha v'sharecha, you put a mezuzah on the front door. The front door was that there was only one room. There are more quotes in Shulchan Aruch that there are some people that make a mistake. They only put a mezuzah on the front door. They don't put mezuzahs on all the rooms in the house. So Rambam says that practice is incorrect. Yeah, there's a chiyuv mezuzah on every room that you have in the house. So I think the Aruch HaShulchan writes he's not going to bother to discuss the mistake in minig that the Rambam talks about here because nobody has that mistake as man as that. The Aruch HaShulchan lived a while ago, 100 years ago. In our generation, there are people who do make the mistake. There are bonim who make the mistake. They think the chiyuv mezuzah on the beisecha, mezuzah is only on the front door. You don't need mezuzahs on the doors inside the house. In the days of the Chumash, the Pashtus says the whole house consisted of one room. Everything. The parents slept in that room, and the children slept in the room, and the guests slept there, and that was the dining room, and that was the kitchen, and that was the den, and that was the study. Everything was one room. Everybody slept in one gigantic room. So that's what the Gemara says. Chadama, one says, Achseidu gedol ha'isa, the Mr. and Mrs., the Isha Shonamas, they lived in a big room, and they had no children. So it was an empty room. And they put in a wall, the chilkul shnayim, and they divided it into two by putting in the wall. So the Gemara says, Bishleim l'manda machseda ha'ayna l'chsiv kir. Kir means a wall. So they put in a wall that accomplished to make it into two rooms. Elamanda ma'aliyah, but if you say, aliyas, how does it say, nasa no aliyas kir. So how does the word my kir? The word kir means a wall. And now you tell me that they put a roof on top of the aliyah. And for the Gemara, my kir, shikiruha. Kiruha means they put a tikra. Tikra is a roof. So the word kir usually means a wall, and once in a long while it has the meaning of a tikra, of a roof. Shleim l'madam aliyah ha'inadichsev aliyahs. Okay? Aliyah means the upper floor. The Isha Shanamis, but the husband lived downstairs. And Elisha Navi used to travel around Eretz Yisrael whenever he stayed in their city. So he stayed upstairs. That's the aliyah. My aliyahs. Why does it say aliyah? Evdimor, the word aliyah means mu'ulo shebibatim, a high quality home. They didn't take a little hut and say, Elisha Navi should sleep in the doghouse or in the garage, in the backyard. No. Gave mu'ulo shebibatim. They lived in a big room, and they divided it in half, and they gave him a bekovedika spot that he should stay there. And he stayed by them. He used to sleep there, and he used to eat, he used to take care of everything. Amar Bayvitam Rab Yitzchok, different Rabbanim have different policies. Some Rabbanim have the policy when the Balabatim invite them to eat by them on Shabbos or Yantav, so they'll eat by the Balabatim. Others have the policy, they never eat by the Balabatim. So some rabbis are afraid to eat by the Balabatim, some of them, they're not so convinced that they keep kosher 100%, so they don't want to hurt the feelings of the people who are not so observant, so they tell all the Balabatim, we're not going to eat by anybody. But in the days of the Tanakh, apparently they weren't concerned about that. Everything, there was only one hashgacha. Everything was glatt kosher, everything was kosher. So that wasn't the issue. So the Gemara says, different policies. Elisha Novi used to be Nana. He used to stay just like he stayed by the Isha Shanam. He stayed by other people also. He would sleep by them and eat by them. And there was no problem. if a Talmid Chacham travels around and people want to house him, they want to put him up and they want to give him food, if you want to, you can stay. You shouldn't feel as if it's Geneva, that they feel obligated to give me food or to put me up, and they really wouldn't want to do it. So it's like I'm pressuring them. When I come to town and pressure them, you're not pressuring them. They want to be mechaber at Talmid Chacham. Okay, so I was in Lehonis Yehonik Elisha. There's nothing wrong with that. Rishel ain't a Rotzel Yehonis. And if you have a Talmid Chacham who travels around, he doesn't. He never wants to eat by Balabatim. He always wants to eat on, be on his own. He wants to rent his own room and eat his own food. Al Yehonis, he gives up the hay. And it's not considered as if he's causing friction, making makloikis, or as if he's showing, how does Rashi say, if it's a mechziki yuharo, it won't necessarily cause sinner. He's not going to eat by anybody. It won't, doesn't show gasa aruch as if he's holier than everybody else and he doesn't trust anybody. No. That's his policy. He doesn't want to eat by anybody. So that's kishmuel haramasi. Shmuel anavi did like that. He never ate by anybody. He always took care of himself. Shenema. Uchivasa haramasa. Shmuel anavi, it says in Tanakh, and says in Sefer Shmuel there, he would travel around Eretz Yisrael every year, and he would be in every community a couple of days, and people are childless, Dine Torah, or Eitzis for the future, so he would give all of the people his advice. Every year he would go back to his own home. He lived in Ramah. So the end of the whole tour would be, he would go back home. Kishon Beso, because that's where he lived, Kavua. What do you mean Kishon Beso? So Pashim Shatu Shom Beso in Ramah. Shmuel HaNavi lived in the city of Ramah. But Rabbi Yochanan, no. In the previous Pasuk, right before Chavasa Ramasa, Rashi points out, it lists off all of the names of the various cities where he used to travel around. What are the cities? Rashi quotes, V'ayim edei shana b'shana v'sivei beisel v'hamitzvah shavet es Yisrael. But then Chavasa HaRamasa. So it means, Kishom Beso, he brought his whole home with him when he went to Mitzpah, when he went to Basil, when he went to all of these other locations, he would always bring his own barbecue. His wife would come along, and he would always bring a barbecue and his own frozen steaks and his own bed, his whatever, his balloon bed or whatever. And he took care of himself. He never wanted to stay by anybody, never wanted to eat by anybody. Any place, any time he went to a city to stay there for a week, Beisaima, his wife and his utensils will all be with him. He never wanted to be nana from anybody. So Gemara says that both mahalchim are acceptable. Haratz Elihanis is acceptable, Haratz Shalal Elihanis is acceptable. The Isha Shunamis requested of her husband, but Taimar Elisha, she says, Tohane Yadati Kishali King Kodeshu. So Gemara says, how come she realized and the husband didn't realize? Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Mikan, see from this pasuk and where is it? In Malachim, and say from Malachim, Shehuisha Makeres Baruch Miyosem En Hoish. The women have a better sense of sizing people up than the men. So she understood that Elisha Navi was a holy individual. Isha Lekim Kodeshu. And how did she know? Kodeshu, Minoyada, how did she know? Fine, the women have a better sense. But what did she base it on? Minoyada. Rabbi Shmuel had a machlek. Whenever she served them a meal, so it was hot in the summertime, there'd be flies, and you had to chase away the flies. And because Elisha was so holy, so the flies never came near him. So she understood that he must have a lot of kiddush isha likim kodeshu shalerasa zvuv al shulchana. Whenever she served him food, there were no flies. Chadom and the other opinion, no, kodeshu was sadan shal pishnu nitzial mitos. She used to put a sheet on top of his bed, and she never saw belerasa carry olav. She never saw any shichva zera. Apparently, it never happened. His shichva zera didn't come out from his body. So she understood that he's a holy man. Kodeshu, yeah. Why does it say Kodeshu? Ishalekim Kodesh. Why Kodeshu? It sounds like a miut. Like it says, there was a Muhammad between the five kings and the four kings, and Avram, and the four kings won against the five kings. So one of the five cities was Sodom, and Lot, Ben Achi Avram, Avram Avinu's nephew, lived in Sodom. So all of his property was taken over by the four kings. So Avram Avinu put together a small army. What is the pasuk? 318 soldiers, I think it says. And he waged war against the four kings, and he won. He won the war. So then it says, Malkitzek, Melech Shalom, Hotzi Lech Merayim, Hu Kohen, Lekel Yon. And he gave food to Avram Avinu after the war was over. And he said, Baruch Avram Lekel Yon, Baruch Kel Yon, Shemigin Tzarech B'yodecha. So why does it say, Hu Kohen, Lekel Yon? It should have said, Malkitzek, Melech Shalom. Kohen, Lekel Yon. Why do you need the word Hu? Hu Kohen. Hu Kohen, Bein Bon of Kohanim. That he was the Kohen, and usually Kohen goes B'Yerusha, but his children lost the Kohen. Why? Because he made a mistake. Because Higdim Birchas Eved leBirchas Kono. First he gave a bracha to Avram Avinu. He said, Baruch Avram leKel Yon Shemigin Tzarech B'Yodecha. Baruch Avram leKel Yon, Baruch Kel Yon Shemigin Tzarech B'Yodecha. He should have been Magdim the bracha to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam before he gave the bracha to Avram Avinu. So because he gave the bracha to Abbas of Adam before the bracha to Rebbeinu Shel Olam, so that's why the Gemara says in the Dharm, that's why he lost his chus, and it says, Hu kohen lekel yon, hu kohen vein bon of kohan. So the same over here, the Gemara says, this is a miut. It says, Isha likimen kodesh hu. Kodesh means he's holy to the exclusion of somebody else. Who was there who was not holy? The Gemara says his gabai was good for nothing. Gehazi. The psukim say what happened, that later on, Naaman sartzvo melech haram was a Metzora and the Jewish girl who was in Aram said, why don't you go, and he tried, and went to all the doctors in the world, went to everybody, nothing helped. So she said, why don't you go to the Novi? And Eretz said, there's a Novi, Elisha, a Novi, he'll cure you. So finally he went, and the Novi cured him. So he felt so indebted that he was suffering from tzaras for so long. So he sent matanas, gold and silver and clothing and everything to Elisha Navi. Elisha Navi said he doesn't want to take anything. He doesn't need his matanas. He refused to take it. So they sent it back. So Gehazi went on his own and chased after Naaman, Sa'atzwa Melech Aram, and he said, my master changed his mind. He says he will accept it. And it was a lie. And he took it. So when Elisha found out about it later, so he cursed him. And he said, Saras Nama Yidbuk Bacha and Ubanecha, he became a Mitzurah and his children became Mitzurah. Abba Mitzurah sitting Pesach Shah Shamron, that was Gehazi Ushlosh Bono. That's how the Gemara says. So he was Taka good for nothing. He made a big Chil Hashem. The Gemara says, in addition to that, not only that's a Kiddush Hashem, Kodosh, the Gemara understands that Kiddush has to do with in Yonim Abtznias. With women, how do you act when you're around women? So the Gemara says, when the Isha Shonamis came, when her son died, he got the sunstroke and he died. So she went right away to the Navi, to Elisha Navi, to complain. I didn't ask for a baby. What do you give me a bracha? I should have a baby. The baby died. I should have to have aggravation. So it says, Vayigash Gehazi Lahadfa. She ran and she grabbed onto the legs of Elisha Navi. So Gehazi was the shamus, so he wanted to keep her away. So the pasuk says lahod defor, to push her away. So the Gemara has a tradition that he grabbed onto her breast. Achaza behod yofyo. He was quite a character. Elisha Navi was a holy tzaddik. She didn't see Carrie on his bed, and his shamus was not such a holy tzaddik when it came to women. He had an opportunity to. So he was groping the woman. He would have been in the newspapers today. Yeah. Today and every day. Every day they have in the newspapers. Every day. Yeah. So she told her husband, Ish tzarek, ish kodesh over aleinu tomid. Over aleinu tomid. Why does she use that expression, over aleinu tomid? Sounds like korban tomid. I'm Rabbi Yisrael Chanin, Mishum Ablazim ben Yankov. If you invite a Talmud Chacham to stay by you and you give him food to eat, malalakasa kilu makriv to meet him. That's why she used the lashon over aleinu tamid, in the sense, let's have him eat by us, let's have him stay by us, and it'll be considered, it'll be a schus, as if we're bringing korbanos. I think they tell a story about There must be some mistake. I think they used to tell about the Chassam Sofer, that he used to, as a young boy, he used to come late to shul all the time, came to shul after Aleinu. So I think the Chidor, I forgot already who it was, I think the Chidor writes, or someone writes, that he saw Ish Tzadik over Aleinu Tomid. There's a holy Tzadik and he always comes after Aleinu. He used to be a guy who always came to fellow neighborhood. He always came to Broyers after Aleinu. On Shabbos morning, came after the davening was all over. So I told him, oh, that's the pasuk. Ish Kodesh over Aleinu Tomid. Yeah. That's not right. You got to come... You got to come before Adon Olam. It's supposed to come after Olam.
We learned from Avram that you're supposed to say, make the bracha and say l'chaim afterwards.
Mm-hmm. We say l'chaim first before the Bar Piagof and then before the Beshahakal on the Shnab. So he's saying a bracha to the boss of Adon before the bracha to Rabban Shalom. So that's not right, right? The poskim learned that out. From Malki Tzedek was punished because of that, because he didn't bichas. Eved lebichas kono, so that's why v'hu kohen l'kelayon. That's why v'hu kohen v'im ban of kohen. Yeah, there's a tshuva and the tshuva is Ablezer Telzer. Ablezer Gordon, he has a tshuva. When a kohen gets married or a kohen gets divorced, so they write nitzuva, they write and they get pliny ben pliny hakohen. So some have the practice to write pliny hakohen ben pliny hakohen. And others write Ploni HaKohen Ben Ploni. If the son is a Kohen, obviously the father is a Kohen. We don't do like that. We write Ploni Ben Ploni HaKohen. Maybe the father is a Kohen and the son is a Cholom. So, no, we assume, if it says Ploni Ben Ploni HaKohen, we assume the word HaKohen goes on both. How do you talk and write the Ksuba or the Get if the father is a Kohen and the son is a Cholom? So what do you write? The Blazer tells the rights that he write Ploini ben Ploini b'hu kohen. B'hu kohen means v'im b'no kohen. You don't write Ploini ben Ploini ha-kohen. Write Ploini ben Ploini b'hu kohen means like Malkit said in Malashan, b'hu kohen v'im b'no kohen. Just like the Gemara Darshans and the Dorim on that posse. B'hu kohen v'im b'no kohen. So we are also the same drosha. Hu kodesh. Kodesh hu. Kodesh hu kodesh. And the aim of Shosa Kodesh. Shosa ain't a Kodesh. When you have an Adam Tzaddik and he has a Gabbai who's good for nothing, so usually in Yiddish they'll call him Kechazi. So there used to be a fellow lived in a neighborhood, Aaron Felder. He was the son of Rabbi Gedalia Felder from Toronto. So he was Bar Moshe together with Rabbi Melech Bluth. These two chever were Bar Moshe Weinstein forever. For years and years and years, they were there Bar Moshe all day and all night. And they used to see all the gittin and everything, they said. They had all the hanhagas. So sometimes they would protect Bar Moshe from dudniks. They would chase people away. So they used to call them all the time, Gechazi. People who were angry, why he didn't let them, Felder didn't let them, Felder was very tough. Why Felder wouldn't let them pester Bar Moshe, so they used to call him Gechazi. Because Gechazi was the miserable shamus that Elisha Navi had. Yeah. The Amar Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina, they quoted a previous member from him, so now they quote another member, unrelated. The first one's Bahamarech Tamachach Matoch Beso. Malala Kasu Kil Hikrit Midim. Now he says another member, unrelated, Mishamar Blaz Meyakiv. You shouldn't stand on top of an elevated platform when you daven. If anything, if you don't want to stand on the ground level, have a makom namach, a lower level. There were shuls in Europe where they used to have the place where the chazan would daven, that you would go down. It would be lower down than the rest of the floor. That's why it says Hayored Lifnei Hateva. The Mishnah is Havaloshim. Hayored Lifnei Hateva, because they claim that the place where the chazan would stand would be lower down than the rest of the level of the shul. So that's what the Gemara says here. That everyone should go daven mi mamakim krasichim from the lower elevation. Tanya Lam Yochad is a brisa that says like that. A Tosefta of the Amaran logab kisu logab ishrashraf. Let's say the Chazan davens on top of an elevated platform in Shom Shuls. So it's against the halacha. So it says if it's big enough, then it's okay. If it's a tiny little elevated platform, it's no good. But usually the bima, if the chassan stands on top of the bima to daven, the bima is going to be a big place where there's room for a lot of people to stand. So then it's not considered makom gavaya. It's another floor. Okay.
How big would it have to be?
Forgot, they give a shiur in Shulchan Aruch. Got to take a look. They give you how big it has to be. What's the minimum size it has to be that it's considered a separate floor? So the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes it to Sef. The Tanya Amachal Yamadon Amakum Kisei Lagabi Kisei Lagabi Shrashav Lo Makum Lo Yispal Ela Be Makum Nam Yispal Fish Ein Gabulus Lefnei Hamakum. And Gabus Lefnei Amokim means don't be a big shot in front of the Rebbe Shalom Shinema. I mean, Mamakin Krasila. Uchsev Tfilin Yoniki Yatayf. When a poor man davens, you don't daven because you're a knacker, you're somebody important, and you're standing on top of an elevated platform. It should be En Gabus Lefnei Amokim. In the back of the Gemara is the quote on this Loshen, En Gabus Lefnei Amokim, that. When a big Talmud Chacham dies, it is a Akel Mali Rachmim, it is a Yimta Menucha, Al Kampi Ashkir, Malas Kadeshim Term, the Nishmas Harab Agoyen, and you give all the titles. So they say that it's not right to give all these titles. Here in the back they have all these Oris, so it's on page 46 after the Maharsha. Page 46, so they have the Oris of the Rabbi from Shavel. The rabbi from Shavel has a collection of Shadas and Tshuvas. So he quotes here from the Mava Yabek, from other swarm like that. You shouldn't say Harav HaGoyim. You should just say Pliny Ben Pliny. Just say the name. And same thing the Gemara says on Yontif, when you duchen, when the Kohanim duchen, so we say the Tefillah for the Chaloimus that appears in the Gemara. So we say... we say Kachalamos of Shal Yosef Atzadikim Tzichim Refoim Kichizkiyo Melech Yehuda B'chol Yichamim Harvim Mitzirat Echnam Mitzirat. So you shouldn't say Miriam Hanaviya, you shouldn't give her title, you shouldn't Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda, just say Chizkiyo. So you shouldn't say Adei Moshe Rabbein, you should say Adei Moshe, shouldn't give Ein Gavus Lefnei Amokim. He's talking a tefillah to Rebbe Shalom, when you're talking to Abbas of Adam, when you're introducing a speaker, they say Rabba Goyen Moshe Rabbeinu. You're talking to Rabbi Shalom in a tefillah, so you say Moshe Rabbeinu. So you just say Moshe. Whenever you talk to Rabbi Shalom, you shouldn't give all the titles. So that's what he quotes from earlier Svarim like that. When you say that tefillah for the Chalamis, you should leave out all the titles. When you say Akem Mal Rachm, also you shouldn't say Harabagon, you just say the name. But my father passed away, so different people said Hespedim. So Dr. Lamb knew my father. Mr. Joel didn't know my father. So he wanted to participate, so he has a nice voice. So he said, Dikel Mali Rachman. So he told him in advance. He should only say Eli Melech Ben Moshe. He shouldn't say Harab HaGoyen anything. So people were wondering. So Rabbi Chalap spoke right after Mr. Joel said, Dikel Mali Rachman. He said that we had told him, we gave instructions, he shouldn't say any titles, because that's what it says in the Pasuk. We're not supposed to give titles when you're offering a tefillah. And it's based on this line in the Gemara, Ein Gablus Lefnei Amokim. Just like you shouldn't daven on a mokim gavaya, you shouldn't use any titles. Tefillah Leoni Ki Yatev.
Some Siddur Menachem, all of them, that you can say, it says Abdecho Abdi, and then it says your name. Isn't that the biggest title you can give anybody?
You shouldn't say Avi Moiri. You should say Avi. Say Avi Pliny. That's a title, yeah. That's a very big title, yeah.
Abraham says that.
Mm-hmm. Moshe Rabbeinu Eved Hashem, yeah. That's also questionable. It's also a title. That's not right. Yeah, when you daven Shemoneh Esrei, you're supposed to have your feet together touching. Amar Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina, another member, unrelated. Each member is unrelated. The 2 feet should be together. Yeah, that's by the malochim. They stand on one leg, so we should put our 2 legs together. That should look like one leg. There's a pasuk that says raglem ke ragle egel. So some the rishonim have, some people have the practice that the egel has a mafis parsa, has a split hoof. So they have the 2 feet instead of being one next to each other, they have them a V shape like this, because it's a ke ragle egel. A kosher eagle has a split hoof. So the poskim, the rishonim say that that's not right. Should be karaglam regular yishar. The 2 feet should be together like this. And Yerushalmi, there's another opinion that it's not based on the malochim raglam regular yishar. That's malochim like that, but it should be like kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash, that they would walk. They would be careful not to spread their legs apart too far. So they would go. Akev bitzad gudel. When they would walk forward, so they would put, let's say, if you're right footed, you put your right foot ahead. So the akev, the heel of the right foot, should be parallel to the toes of the left foot. Then you put the left foot ahead, should be akev bitzad gudel. The akev, the heel of the left foot, should be parallel to the toes, the gudel of the right foot. So it's not that the 2 feet are regular yishore, one next to each other. There should be one next to each other like that. So we don't follow that opinion. That's in Yerushalmi, there's one opinion like that. That when we daven, our feet should be together, like the Kohanim and the Beis Hamikdash. We follow the Bavli, that it's like Malochim, and we don't follow that opinion. It's Kikaf Egel, with a split hoof. Regular yishore means it should be, look like 1 foot. The Amar Rabbi Yisrael Chanini has another quoting a lot of members. Also named Rabbi Lezmiya. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a whole series of interpretations on the pasuk Lasoch Lal Adam. Lasoch Lo Al Hadam. One interpretation is you shouldn't eat a korban before you zerk the dam on the mizbeach. Yeah. The sochlav adain dam b'mizrak. Yeah, different interpretations the Gemara has. So the Gemara says, on all of these lavim, you don't get any malchus because it's a lav shebichlolos. What does it mean lav shebichlolos? So that's a question. What that means? In order to get malchus in chumish dvar midarsh and smuchim, if you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, that's called a hekesh. Or if you have zochav v'sham b'di berech and emru, they were said mamish simultaneously. So that's mamash hekesh. If the zoch v'shamo were recited simultaneously, that's a hekesh. What if you have two psukim, one next to each other? So that's a machloikis in the beginning of Yevamos, vadi darshan smuchim. And we generally assume you only darshan smuchim in the chumash dvar. The Gemara quotes machloikis hatanaim. We hold you only darshan smuchim in the chumash dvar. The Gemara gives a whole explanation why. So one of the, there are many famous drushes in chumash dvar that are based on smuchim. So one of the more famous ones is the whole third perek in Makkos. Elohein Alokin is all based on the fact that the Dumid Dalav the Chasima. The pasuk says, "Vitzdikas Atzark Veshivas Harasha Bahayon Bir Hakoyis Harasha." If the Bez Nas attains that someone is a Rasha, so they have to. So the pasuk says they give him Malkus. How is the person considered a Rasha? So the very next pasuk says, "Losachsim Shabedisha." One who violates an avera that's similar to Lav da chasima, la sachs m'shabedisha is loike. So that's the whole machlekes hatanoim. What's considered similar to lav da chasima? What about lav shein b'maisa? What about lav anitik l'essay? And so on and so forth. All the different details. The whole perik, that's what the whole perik is all about. So one of the dinim, of one of the klolim, that you only get malchus is, if it's a lav shebechlolus, it's not dumi the lav da chasima. La sachs m'shabedisha is a pasuk in the pshuta shal mikra, you get malchus. So the same here in this, that's how the Rambam learns in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Rambam has 14 klolim to determine what belongs in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, what not. So some of the Shorashim, some of the klolim are more famous than others. And Shorash Tes is one of the more famous ones. So he talks about a few topics. So one of the topics talks about is Lav Shebechlolos. So he understands Lav Shebechlolos means you only get Malkus Hamshuta Shal Mikra. Whatever is an additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk is not Dumi Dalav Da Hasima. So he wouldn't get Malkus. So the Rambam seems to hold that the Pshuto Shal Mikra, what is the Pshuto Shal Mikra Lo Soch Lo Adam? Lo Soch Lo Achila HaMavir Lidei Dam. That the Ben Sora Mora eats, he steals money from his father, from his parents, Machlok Satanai, steals money from the parents, and he buys Italian steaks and Italian wines, and he eats with a chabura of gangsters, and this is going to lead him to crime. So the Torah says, Yom Zaka by Yom Eschayv, so you should put him to death. So the Rambam holds that that's Pshuto Shel Mikra. L'soch L'al Adam, you shouldn't eat. Achila HaMeviyah L'Edei Dam. You shouldn't eat in such a way that it's going to put you into a habit that's going to lead you to stealing money from others, and so far is going to be Amir Al Parashas Drachma Malastim and Sabrias, in order to buy his drugs, and in order to have his wine and his flesh. So the Rambam understands that that's Pshuto Shel Mikra. So the Pshuto Shel Mikra, you do get Malkus. Ben Zarmar, the first Achila Bishayni gets Malkus. Achila Shnia, he gets Misa. Achila Bishayni, he gets Malkus. And all the other interpretations are all additional levels of interpretation, not Lefi Pshuto. So the Gemara, he has an additional interpretation that's not Lefi Pshuto. So Chlal Adam, Rabban Chumash has a different Pshuto Shal Mikra. He says, when the Oibde Avodah Zarah used to slaughter a sacrifice to the Avodah Zarah, so they would shecht it, and then they would have a puddle of blood in the middle, and then they would all sit around and eat it, and the blood represented life to them. Life is can't be. They all knew like Pasteur. Pasteur came up with the Chiddush that you can't have life come from nothing. Life has to come from another life. So the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they all thought that when people practice sex, that they have a baby. So there must be some deity involved over here. So sexual relations were always considered something religious. Or the earth gives forth Paris. So it brings forth Paris. That's a life. So they always thought that the sun shines and gives life, and the rain. They used to worship anything that gives life. So they used to deify all of these things. And Baruch Chumash says, L'soch L'al Adam, the Pshuto Shel Mikra means if you sit around in a circle and you eat the meat with a puddle of blood in the middle, as the Avodah Zarah used to have the practice. And everything else is an additional level of interpretation. So the Rambam also has, but the Rambam holds apparently that the Pshuto Shel Mikra goes on a Ben Sora Mora. That's the Pshuto Shel Mikra. So the Gemara here has that the Pasuk also includes one who eats before davening. It's a little bit dochuk. You're not allowed to eat before you pray for your life. So that's what the Meiri and the Anabob Metzia raises. Could be it's the Meiri here also. I didn't look. But I remember the Meiri and the Anabob Metzia raised the question. According to the Rambam, there's an obligation to daven once a day, every day. So okay, so you can say it's a real din d'oraisa. So you're not allowed to eat before you daven. But according to the Ramban, who disagrees, that Tfilah is only, Tfilah B'chol Yom is only the Rabbanon. So how can you say that there's an Issa d'oraisa to eat before you daven? It can't. It must be that this is only an Asmachta. Not only it's not Lefi Pshuto, it's not, can't be a din d'oraisa at all. Unless you'll say, the Meiri says, unless you say, you have to say Kriya Shema every day. Maybe it's an Issa d'oraisa to eat before Kriya Shema. But how does it fit in with the words Al Adam? If you say the way the Gemara says, not allowed to eat before you daven Kodesh, tispalu al dimchem, before you pray for your life. But if you say it goes on Kriya Shema, how does the word dam fit in? That's problematic. Okay, Leonetta, tomorrow we'll continue.
Why do you keep him around?
I don't know.
That's the reason why it would make sense to say that it's Kriya Shema.
Good, but how does it fit in with the word dumb? That's the shayla. I don't know.
If I'm saying a mishaberach to my father after an aliyah,
When Chizkiyah made the mistake with the calendar, did they have to bring a korban al-davar?
And you